is the legendary Humble and Fred Show, Canada's national morning show.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
The following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, Fresh Books, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, call 1-855-662-4743. That's 1-855-ON-AIR-HF.
I think he's trying to hit the post. You know that?
Yeah. He's excellent.
No, I think he's trying to like hit the every day now. Phil gets closer and closer to trying to wrap up his intro just as the Black Keys start to sing.
Well, that explains a giant pressure mark on my head. I'm hitting the post.
You know, he does. He that's what we used to call it when we were DJs.
Just
talking up to the vocal.
Disc jockeys.
We used to call that hitting the post. Mm-hmm. And I think every day, I just get this sense, he has this sense of urgency at the end of the intro, trying to squeeze it all in before the guy sings.
Hitting the post is not a big thing anymore, right? In fact, wasn't there a time where it was almost not cool to hit the post? Because that was like from the old whippy-dippy days of radio. Wasn't it cool to just sort of slide into a song and let it breathe and then... Wasn't there that era?
I don't know.
You were at the edge, did you really want to hit post?
I certainly did.
You did?
I did.
But is that not true? It became sort of a, you know, it wasn't the coolest thing to do? Because you thought you were like, you were like Soupy Sales or something?
No, I never went through that period. I always thought it was pretty cool to go, blah, blah, blah.
Chikatata.
Chikapata. 102.1. The Edge. Then they start singing.
I don't know.
Listen, maybe.
Hey. Who am I to talk? Never in my career was I a disc jockey.
Not even when you started? Did you not do practice radio shows when you were first starting out?
Oh, yeah. And I think I did a couple of fill-in shifts at the old AM station in Brampton.
Hi, everybody. It's Fred Patterson. Hello, everyone. You probably sound a little bit like Foster Hewitt,
I imagine, you in your early years.
It's funny how your career unfolds. You know, when you start basically in a major market, you don't get to do a lot of things that kids starting out in smaller markets get to do. It's just, you know, you just don't.
Well, you didn't miss anything, really. Trust me.
No.
Welcome, everybody. We got a big show. This is our show. A lot of people are wondering when the show starts. This is it. The show has started.
This is it. Bite our tit.
Yeah. So, yes, this is it. Bite our tit. That man is 60 years old. Me laughing at that, I'm 56.
Here's yesterday.
This is it. Bite our tit.
Yesterday, you would have enjoyed this. Yesterday, I go golfing 7 minutes away with three guys that you know and love as well.
In fact,
they want you to be.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Yeah, because I didn't get that invitation.
No, because
the magical foursome.
I don't usually either. These guys have been golfing together and something opened up. Lumbee's been golfing with them.
Oh, has he?
Yes.
Really?
So he couldn't go yesterday. That's how I get it.
You got the call?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's some bench strength when Fred Patterson's the alternate.
Stepping up to the plate.
Anyway,
that's pretty big.
The Fred man drops one into the river. Darren comes up with his ball grabber, reaches in, grabs this ball. It's not mine, but it just happens to be a pretty good ball. But it had a Hershey logo on it, like Hershey chocolate bars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Well, we used to have this joke at CFMY back in the day about the Hershey Highway.
Oh, did you?
Which was your bum.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So we used to talk about a band called the Hershey Highwaymen and all that stuff.
Sure.
But it had to do with Hershey chocolate, your bum. You see the connection.
No, I get it.
So for the rest of the day, I kept asking everybody if they wanted me to push this golf ball up their Hershey Highway because it had the Hershey logo on it.
Sure.
Now, that may not sound funny now, but it was pretty funny on
it
the
course. It killed yesterday.
Earl, bend over. I'll push this up your Hershey Highway.
So it sounds like it was one of those...
And it went from there, Howard.
Classic Fred bits where, you know, it starts off funny... And then it just, you know, devolves into, okay, Fred.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to put the ball up Hershey Highway.
I agree.
I get it.
I agree. I'm no limiter. But it was fun.
Did you, so you guys...
And again, a 60-year-old man, do you want me to put this golf ball up your bum?
And, so the Hershey Highways was the name of the band?
The Hershey Highwaymen.
Did you guys tell, did you tell them about our band? And Betty and the Casseroles?
That's great.
That's
Aunt
what
Betty
we'll
and the Casseroles.
Hey, did you guys hear that Aunt Betty and the Casseroles are playing tonight?
That new album, Tuna, is coming out now.
That's actually a great name for a band.
Yeah, man. Aunt Betty and the Casseroles.
Almost like a, you know, not sort of reggae or sort of feel to it.
You feel that's got a reggae vibe?
It's like a soulful sort of sound, isn't
okay.
it? Yeah.
And no women in the band, right? It's a bunch of guys. It's like,
no,
bare, naked,
exactly.
It's like bare naked ladies. It's Aunt Betty and the Casseroles. Well, where's Aunt Betty? Oh, there is no Aunt Betty.
Yeah, figure it out. It's all about, we're being ironic.
Then we'll be banned from Brampton Town Hall from performing.
Okay, everybody. We know you know this song. Aunt Betty and the Casseroles have been playing this a long time. Hope you join in. It's a classic from, Talking. Aunt Betty say, every casserole turn out right.
Aunt Betty just crushed the post.
That's right. You know, it's funny because other disc jockeys used to get embarrassed, I think, when they would walk the vocal, you know, talk over the thing.
Yeah.
And I just did what I've been saying since I was a kid. Oh, singing. That's what I do. I just go, and there's a, the singing happened. Anyway, welcome to the show, Aunt Betty and the Casseroles, live from 956 the Queensway. It's kind of weird. I thought of you going golfing yesterday. It was sort of strange because I stayed here after and I worked on the studio with our friend, the great Jim Carr. There's no words. I have no words to describe what a great guy Jimmy Carr is because he stayed in here. I tape a golf podcast. Ironically enough, you were playing golf and I was talking about it. But Jim stayed here. He recalibrated our studio, and he stayed here during the taping of the show that I do. He was here till 12:30 or 1 yesterday, making sure it all sounds great, and it does. So I'm not going to spend any more time on the audio, but I'll say that this guy, Jim Carr, I don't know what we're going to do for him. Like I told him yesterday, I said, listen, we're working on a gift. We're not sure what it's going to be, you know, but we're putting some thought into it. And he was very like,
you don't have to do
don't
that.
Do anything.
And then did you say, okay.
No.
Okay.
How about a tuna casserole?
I'll tell you what
he did.
It's
so expensive nowadays.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what he did as well. Is,
what did he do?
Well, you know, yesterday after the show, I got a little bit pissed. Not raging, but I went to my car and I checked. And, you know, sure enough, when they broke into my car a couple nights ago.
Right.
They took... I had a spare key, and don't forget to remind me. We're going to do a little tour of the office. So I'll give you your keys, okay?
Okay. All right.
I had a spare key for the back door, which is a keypad entry. Excuse me, a coded entry, and you know that bugged me, and you heard me get mad because they took the key, they stole the key that opened my back door, our back door.
But it was a new Howard Mad, not an old Howard.
No, exactly. It was just more like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, really? I got to deal... Like, because that would have been so nice if that key had been there and we wouldn't have had to deal with the lock. So Phil went and got the lock, new lock, and Jim, not only did he recalibrate the studio, but he stayed here and he changed the lock for me while I was doing Swing Thoughts. Like, I will do this. I did this, though. I took the other one off with my own man hands.
Good.
Yeah. I was pretty proud of that. Mm-hmm.
So, the original one, they took the key. You called it the spare key. Where's the key?
Though that's in the residence somewhere. I have no idea.
And you have no idea?
No.
It's 2 weeks old and you have no idea.
But there's so many keys to this place, Fred. It's insane. So I put it where all the other keys are, right, which is on top of the fridge.
Right.
Do you want to tell the lock story, though? That was insane.
What, how stressed out you were that you feel vulnerable and somebody is out there with a key to your residence? That part? Hmm? Or the caper part?
What part do you think I'm talking
about?
The
caper.
The caper. So
there's a caper?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And you're a part of it. I asked you about it this morning.
Oh, yeah. Well, should we even say this before it happens?
Well, we don't have to say. Here's what I would say. What we have to say is this. Well, wait a minute. Here's another. I think the casseroles are coming back for a second song.
Hey, everybody. Time for Bumper Clock.
Anyway, we shouldn't say where this item is from.
No.
So, I had a break-in, and the lock that we have in the back of our office / where I live is now useless. So Phil was kind enough, because I was in here with Jim all morning, Phil went and got a new lock. And did the caper, did it start when he came back with the lock?
Yes.
Okay.
So, because everything sort of fit together.
Yeah, the key fit in the lock of the caper. So Phil comes back with the new lock from a store that sells these type of things. And I don't even know how you measure the speed at which your mind works. But out of nowhere, Fred says the following.
Well, you guys said, oh, it's the exact same lock. And I said, well, there you go. You take the old lock, put it in that box, and take it back.
In brain broadband.
Because here was the situation. Howard had the lock that was no good now because there's a thief out there with the key. So we replaced the lock. So now we have two locks, right? And they're worth like $179 each. So here we have two locks. So when you come back and then point out to me that they're exactly the same, my mind starts, and I'm thinking, well, take the lock that's no good now, put it in that box, and take it back. What's wrong with that?
Well, here's the thing. It happened at the speed at which that caper mine worked. It was like if it was a stage play, on stage was Phil, Fred, myself, and Jim Carr. And Phil enters stage, upstage, right. I'm already on stage next to Fred, and Jim's underneath the table here calibrating something. And it was almost like Fred said it. I looked. Jim pops his head up and went, wait a second. Are you the same guy that took the power washer back? And then the audience laughs. And it was a classic moment because it just happened so fast. I said to Jim, did you see that? He goes, what? I go, see how fast the Patterson brain works? I said, it's immeasurable, the speed at which that happened. I went along with it. It was beautiful.
There's no real harm in this because it is a programmable lock, so it can be reprogrammed by whoever gets it.
Mm-hmm. But now I'm an accessory. He has never returned a product for this reason before.
Well, I asked you this morning. Did you not understand this morning when I ran it by you?
Of course I understand.
Because, listen, you're a prince of a young man, and if my son was in that position and any part of him didn't want to do it, I would totally understand. I am not. It's not like I'm going to browbeat you or say, Phil, do it. It's completely up to you.
But there is one thing missing, though. I'm supposed to leave the lockout during the winter and then return it.
What?
Well, it's part of the original caper, right?
Oh, right. Oh, that's power on. Yeah. That's detailed. People can't follow. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, Phil, because Fred said, I'll take it back. No problem. And then this morning, Phil offered to take it back. And then you said something like, well, if worst comes to worst, I'll plead Chinese. Yeah. Did you not say
what
that?
Does that
I don't
mean?
Know how to
Did
put
Did you not
together?
Say that I'll plead Chinese?
It's like playing dumb, right? It's where you pretend to be, you know, a different culture to make it
so walk us through
more
that.
Genuine. And, you know, I could pop in and say, I hired someone instead. You know, that sort
that
of thing. I'll have another lock.
That doesn't make sense because everybody knows Chinese Asian people are smarter than us white men.
But those instructions are in English. Hmm. It's English and the French. I don't understand.
So anyway,
I know how to swipe.
Actually, the what you should know is, I said to Fred, I said, dude, can we just have the company? Because I paid for the original lock, and I said, can we just have the company, you know, replace the lock to give the Howman a bit of a break, because now add the lock to my sunglasses, to the garage door opener to the GPS I no longer have. And Fred said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of it. Watch this. And I felt like what Brad Pitt must have felt like with George Clooney on Ocean's 10, 11, and 12. Mm. Because, I mean, you just it just happened so fast. And I was like, yeah, right on, boss. Right on, caper boss. You know that show on the Food Network, Cake Boss?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's caper boss.
The I think that particular establishment, those places, the two of them, I think when you ever take something back, they don't even want to see your card. They just refund and give you a slip. So, I mean, I could try.
Because it was put on Phil's card is why Phil's going back. But also, when we do have a case, because we don't have a case, but in our made-up lying minds, the box it came with was already open and someone had returned it already, I think.
It was the last product on the shelf and it was like partially open. And
it was partially open.
Had a little hole in it.
And that's our excuse why we're ripping you off. This is what in our minds we're saying, hey, you sold us a box that had been soiled.
Hey, you sold us down the river.
You sold us down the river.
Because I'm going to be returning it, right?
That river. Oh,
so you'll go into Asian guy mode?
Fingers crossed, yeah. Because the minute they look at my card, they're like,
now see?
Oh.
What do you think of that now?
Sam, what do I think of what?
The fact that he would use his race to get ahead. Is that not as bad as using your race or having your race used against you? Using your race to your advantage?
Well, also depends on...
I question you.
It's on the reception, too. It depends on whether or not the person believes me, too, eh? Mm-hmm. And because I didn't initiate this. I'm like, I didn't decide to do this.
How do you not believe you in that big, sweet face and that big head waddles in and the guy...
That's right.
Fucking fall in love with you.
His big head waddles in through the door. The automatic doors that open as soon as he gets out of his car.
Oh, Phil, your very presence. See, you're lucky. Because you have that presence. You're just fucking lovable. Look at you. You are. Like, how do you argue with this guy?
I don't know. And you're saying that if you walked in, they'd go, what are you up to, caper boss?
You'd they be like, smell me. They'd smell me.
And I would come back and they'd go, yeah, well, they would probably take it back from me because they'd see I had no clue how to use it and what to do with it. I would be able to go, well, this didn't work. Well, sir, what do you mean? I don't know. I took it out of the box. It didn't magically install itself.
No, I told you. We could suggest that it came. Look at the box; it's a bit tattered. We opened it up, and there were no keys in it.
I know. Listen. Oh no! You. What's frightening about you is you had the caper, you had the excuse, you had it all done in the blink of an eye. And that's what I was trying to. I was saying that to Jim later in the morning. I said, "Did you see how fast Caper Boss's mind works?" I said, "That was stunning. I mean, I was talking about the speed of light, the speed of lie that you come up with is insane. Like your speed of lie really is something else."
What do you mean? That sounds horrible.
No, it doesn't.
Your speed of lie?
Well, the speed at which you came up with that was admirable, I think. Caper boss?
Well, it really wasn't. No, I really didn't come up with it that fast. It's years of conditioning, pulling these capers. So it's not like I had to think about it. It's just there. Because I've done it before. To me, it wasn't like, oh, what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah.
It's just like a fucking trigger.
Well, that sounds much better. After years of pulling these capers. Yeah.
Good for you. I admit it.
Hey, listen, I guess I don't know what's wrong with me. I miss that day. I mean, I've taken things back to big box stores before.
All have.
But not very much, and usually for legitimate reasons. I've probably got some unused paint materials, like old rollers I've never opened and things. I never thought to bring them back.
You know, how many times over the years when you've bought a product and it doesn't really work the way you wanted it to, or, you know, you're sold on it in a certain way and it really doesn't live up to that, but you never get around to taking it back and it lays there and it's never used. You know, everything balances out in the end. So when you get to these situations and the item is somewhat pricey. No, listen, it's not like there's anything missing. There's still a lock there. Nothing is missing.
It's not like it's hard to make a key either.
It's not like the box is empty now and we're getting, like, I'm taking an empty box back and ripping them off. There's an item,
exactly.
There's an item in
and
there.
They can send it back to the manufacturer and say, this was, what do they call that? There's an overage or there's a stock issue.
And here's what I, excuse me, here's what I would say to that. I know there's going to be, we'll probably get response to this, and there's going to be a lot of people out there going, oh, how could he do that? Or you wonder why the price of things go up, and why is there so much distrust in the world? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I think most people, you know, it's easy for people to judge others, but when they're in their situation, there's $179 at stake, I would suggest that most people would try and work an angle to get that back.
And I think that's a great suggestion. I don't know what's wrong with me because it never would have occurred to me. I'm just being honest. I mean, I guess that makes me, I don't know.
But it's not, you know, a lot.
Weak.
To, what do you mean?
Less than. I'm not a caper guy.
This ain't Brainiac shit.
Well, it's like, you know, but hey, listen, you asked me. I'm giving you my honest opinion. It says more about me, I guess, that it never would have occurred to me to take the other one back and put it in the box and take it back. And
what,
you
does
know,
it say about me?
Well, you're, I guess.
Dishonest fuck.
I'm not saying anything about you. I mean, I noticed that you have this ability that I don't. I mean, you've seen me bullshit fucking. Listen, man, I've done. What? What was that?
Just face? Leave it there.
You've seen me work my magic.
Yes, that's better. This is a business.
Right. You've seen me in full on you've seen me in full on music man mode. I see we got trouble right here in River City. Let me sell you some band instruments. That's who I am. I'm Professor Harold Hill. But when it comes to these type of items, you know, big box man items, that's not my thing. When it comes to, you know, convincing a town to buy a bunch of instruments and uniforms, I'm your guy. Do you guys even know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
That's okay.
You know, I had this.
If you're 50 or over, you remember The Music Man, who was a musical, Professor Harold Hill. He sold him a bunch of instruments, couldn't play.
Years ago, there was you remember Star Choice, the satellite company?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You and I had it.
We did. And then my mom and dad were living up north. So I thought, I'm going to actually go purchase one of the little boxes, install it at their place, and claim that it's at my house. A lot of people do that. I don't give a shit what they claim. They do that.
Okay.
For cottages and stuff.
Sure they do.
Well, wouldn't you know, after a couple of weeks, there was something wrong with this box. So I took it back. And I said, can I exchange it? He said, no, sir, it's got to be, we'll send it in for repair. And I said, well, I can't, you know, how long is that going to take? I don't know, a week or two. And I said, well, no. They need it now. And he says, well, I'm sorry, that's the policy. We repair them, we don't replace them. I said, that's cool. I said, you know, and my mind started working right there. Anyway, I left the store, right?
Mm-hmm.
The next day I went back and purchased one, a new one.
A new Star Choice box.
Okay. I went and hooked it up.
Now, did you mention at the beginning we were given these Star Choice boxes?
Oh, yeah. No, this was one that I bought
for
my parents.
Okay.
So I went.
Yes.
Because I had got rid of the box and everything. So anyway, I went and purchased this one the next day. It's all of my mom and dad's. Took the old one and put it in the box, and I repacked it like perfectly, like it had never been touched. And then I took it back the next day. And I said, can I? Then they would give me my money back. I said, oh, I bought the wrong one. So I usurped the
repair
for 2 weeks.
Sure you did.
And again, you walk out of there thinking, I don't know if I should have done that. But hey, fuck, who should wait 2 weeks for a repair?
Yeah, that's God forbid. That's not fair. Caper boss.
Within a 24-hour period, I had them up and running again.
You're like, hey, see here now.
And that was like 2001.
Mm.
So that's like 15 years ago.
Yes, what you're
saying.
That's
off my record.
the statute of limitations has been erased from your Star Choice caper. Hey, see here now. I'm not waiting 2 weeks, boys. What we'll do is we'll go back. We'll purchase one. I'll package it. We'll take it back. The one that's supposed to be repaired, it's out of my hands. Caper boss can't wait 2 weeks, see?
No, this is a casserole.
We could probably do an entire show of those kind of Fred Patterson caper boss stories. Tonight on A&E, caper boss takes back a key, the lock
the keypad lockbox, and he gets the Chinaman to help him.
I don't know what doing.
Why
come,
do you want
Mr.
to
Mr. Chinaman, Chinaman banana,
daylight come and me China go home. Huh? One key entry, come and take it back now. Come on,
go home, guarantee.
Tonight at 9 on A&E, Caper Boss takes a star choice. Receiver box back. He's not waiting 2 weeks.
Then a cable modem, next edition.
Anyway, just, you know, some of the things that you're forced into.
Well, you're forced into by what? Hey, by living on the streets?
Howie.
Yeah, man.
It's fucking tough out there. You know
that. I know, man.
And the thing is, you have to watch yourself. You have to make sure. You have to look after yourself. You have to make sure all your shit's in order.
Like
and
I said, you know.
If it takes a little caper.
Hey, I know.
If it takes a caper once in a while, that's what you do.
Yeah, I pulled off some capers, but they're just in a different way.
They're in a jar,
in a different order. In fact, the reason the fact that these lights are on is a giant caper. Anyway, Brian's here. Brian.
Hello.
Brian's here. Linda Morgan's here. A couple of our producers, and you know, I only bring this up because this isn't to show how wonderful we are. Although we are. This is to say that we appreciate Brian and Linda and Idris, who have helped us out so much over the last period of time, however long you guys have been here. But on Friday particularly, we really appreciated your efforts. Linda, thank you. And
you're too sweet.
Well, we're not too sweet.
Here, I was being nice, no, but...
Just stop. Amanda Barker is the one. And she sent us notes. We had a sense that you guys were helping us out, and that was cool. But Amanda really got to see, you know, how much effort they put into helping us on Friday with our sort of open house grand opening. And she said, hey, why don't we get, you know, the producers a little gift? And we all went, yeah, I guess. And that's how that gift came to be.
Oh, that's very sweet. I'm glad you were so invested in that.
Let's get Linda over here, too. No, just let's try all microphones. Let's just have an experiment, Phil. Why don't you sit down?
Okay. Yes.
And then Linda, get a chair, and we'll see what it sounds like when we have everyone on a microphone. Linda, take the fuzzy one. There you go. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Nice.
Hi. Linda's done something.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You have done something with your cheveux, your hair. Is it cheveux?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. I dyed it red and I cut my bangs. I also got my eyebrows darkened a little bit too, because before it looked like I didn't have any.
Hey, play Jimi Hendrix, Foxy Lady.
She's just a devil woman.
Linda, I thought your hair was always red.
No.
What color is it?
It's like naturally like a light brown, dark blonde. I just prefer the red, so I dye it a lot. So,
hang on, here comes Foxy. You want to put your headphones on? You can hear. I'm not sure if those are even working, but
I can't hear it.
Okay.
Oh, please, don't hit the wrong thing.
I don't think they're plugged in.
Oh, maybe they're not. Just listen to Brian's one for now.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We'll fix it. No, it's
fine. I know
what
the song sounds like.
Yeah, everyone else can hear it. Well, it's good to have you guys here. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you very much for helping us out. Brian's going to be telling us a story. Apparently, you were arguing with... Why were you in Montreal?
I went on a weekend trip to Montreal 2 weeks ago with the girlfriend, and we stayed at a hostel. It was really awesome, but...
A hostel?
Actually, it was like... It was more like a hotel than a hostel.
Nice.
But
nice.
Just, you know, smaller version with a bunch of sweaty people.
Mm-hmm.
But I was wondering, you know, maybe how you guys would react in this situation, because I feel like you would have handled it maybe a bit differently than I did, but first thing I noticed when I got there was there's even more homeless people in Montreal than there is in Toronto.
I wonder why that would be.
I don't know.
Because it's colder there.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Could be the economy there.
Well, that's true. But again, we've often said, you know, if you're a homeless person, you know, save up enough money for a bus ticket to Vancouver.
Right. Come like, on, seriously. Homeless people.
Get your act together.
Yeah, get,
just, are right. you kidding me?
Come on, homeless people, get your act together. Can't you even get it together to get a few dollars to get to a bus, to get to Vancouver?
Like, fucking Victoria's beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're stupid. Think about it.
Yeah, think about it. You know, maybe what you should do is teach, like, a learning annex course where you kind of say, hey, what you do is you go to some places, you buy some things, but you take them back, but then you, I don't know what you do.
You know how much undefended border there is between the United States and Canada? Seriously, if a homeless
person... It's the longest one in the world.
Well, put your mind to it. I mean, there are fields across this country. You can literally run across the field and walk into the United States. You can. You just can.
Sure, you can.
So why wouldn't a homeless person think, okay, I'm homeless, I'm going to live on the street? I put my mind to it. I could end up in Florida within 48 hours.
If I may say, and by the way, great thoughts, but, you know, some of our best and brightest aren't going into homelessness anymore like they used to. You know,
they're not striving for it.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I would think they are, given the tough times.
Well, I know, but, you know, some of the best and brightest that we used to have in the mm-hmm. homeless category, you know, that would, you know, write novels and travel the countryside and things. You know, they're just going into other things. They're bloggers now.
Homeless just aren't what they used to be.
No, that's just what I'm saying. That's just what I'm saying.
Das ja.
Ja.
Oh, ja. That's la.
Okay, just settle down. Settle down, Brian.
I'm just happy to be back.
So, why were you arguing?
Why were you away?
I felt like I was away. Okay. It's been a while.
You took your girlfriend to Montreal and you went, hey, babe, guess what? We're going to go to La Belle Provence and stay at an hostel. And she's like, ooh, that sounds exotic. Oh, and then you get there and you're bunking with some fucking dirty Germans.
Yeah.
People travel. I don't mean that Germans are dirty. They're just dirty because they've been traveling.
These ones.
No, I know.
I could have said you're in a hostel with some dirty Scandinavians that haven't bathed since Europe. So what did she think?
Yeah, it would
you?
Be better to say unwashed as opposed to dirty.
So
unwashed foreigners.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's even better. Mm-hmm. So you're like, hey, we're going to an hostel, and you get there, and there's a bunch of unwashed foreigners.
More or less, yeah.
And how did she take that?
It was actually her recommendation of the hostel. She'd been there before. We got a free bottle of wine out of it. So she's the traveler. I just sit on my ass and go where someone else decides.
How's the interracial thing happening for you? Is that okay?
I'm still liking it.
Yeah. Little bottom of the bird, little dark meat.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's right. But, first thing I noticed walking up and down the streets, every 5 feet, you're getting asked for change.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they're good at it, too.
Well, maybe they saw that you were staying in a hostel, and they went, oh, that guy's got some money.
Definitely not here looking for the cheapest place to stay.
That's funny. So they what we do, the homeless guys are so fucking bad at being homeless, they stake out a hostel, which is basically a place for people who are just above homeless to stay.
But I think they, like, worked out scripts, because they'd come up to me and they'd be in, like, oh, parvulo de focaccia, and, like, say it all in French, and I'd just be like, I don't understand. And then they'd repeat the exact same in perfect English as if, like, it would just flip a switch. But
bilingual bums.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So it's like, you know.
Well, it's part of the law there. You have to be homeless in both official languages.
Yeah, you have to beg in both languages.
Yes, you do. Right, yeah. Yes, you do.
But anyway, by the second night I'm there, we went out for dinner in Old Montreal, which was phenomenal. But I'm coming back.
It really is. Where'd you go, by the way?
It was a steakhouse. It was some kind of steakhouse.
Okay, so it was phenomenal. It was fantastic. Phenomenal. And by the way, coming up, I have something to run by Caper Boss here. I've been invited. I've been invited to another birthday dinner for this buddy of mine.
Ooh.
I know. This is the same buddy where when he turned 30 a couple years ago, there was a birthday dinner for him that cost everybody there, including me, $400 a couple.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know.
That's bullshit.
No, I know. Anyway, you go to dinner. You come back to your hostel.
We're on the way back to the hostel, and I got some leftovers. I got, like, half a 16-ounce ribeye steak and some mashed potatoes. And as I'm walking, I'm thinking, like, I don't feel like carrying this. I'll give it to one of these homeless guys. And this guy specifically said, hey, man, I'm really hungry. Can you give me some money? And I'm like, here, have this. He's like, oh, thanks. What is it? Is it pizza? And I'm like, nah, it's steak and potatoes. And he's like, oh, and he starts going through and sort of like rummaging. And he goes, is there a fork? Do you have a fork? And I go,
this is a homeless guy.
This is a homeless guy.
Yeah.
Picky taste, apparently. Can you have a fork?
Can't believe he's homeless. Didn't have his own fork.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But you should have said to him, hey, you're homeless. It's okay to eat with your hands. We expect as much.
Well, so I go,
yeah, you
I
should
go,
have
no.
said that.
And he looks at me. He goes, so what am I supposed to do? Eat it with my fucking hands?
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
He said that to me.
I'm not surprised.
He fucking says that to me.
You know, some of the homeless can be rude.
And I just stop him like, what? He's like, well, did you have a fork or something? And Andriana, my girlfriend, she's like, well, you're sitting in front of a McDonald's. If you go in, they'll give you a plastic fork. And he's just looking at me. He's like, no, man, I'm not going to eat this. I need a fork. I'm not going to eat this with my hands. And I'm like,
you know,
dude,
you should have said
if
that.
You're fucking hungry, you'll eat it anyway.
You should have said, how about this? How about I chew it and spit it back in your mouth like a mama
like
bird?
Yeah. See, this is why I need you, like,
Jew.
On a hotline.
This is what I need you for.
Jew for. But
well, yeah, that's crazy, man.
He's saying, like, take it back. I don't want it. And part of me is thinking, like, maybe I should take it back and give it to someone else. Maybe I should just stomp on it in front of his face because he's a dick. Or maybe I should just walk away.
Wow.
So did you, I'm assuming you just walked away.
I just walked away because
you're a fraidy cat, tall, white guy in an interracial relationship in the mean streets of Montreal.
Exactly.
You can't afford to draw any more attention to yourself.
Right?
Exactly.
I'm putting on a tough guy persona for my black girlfriend. I get into a fight with a bum, I'm going to look like an ass.
And lose.
And lose.
And all he's armed with is half a 16-ounce steak. He starts to slap you with it. Then he uses the bone. Then he uses the bone as a shiv.
Oh, God. That's what I was. That's exactly what I was afraid of.
All right, Brian.
Fork to stab.
All right, Brian.
You know, I did that.
Enough of you for right now.
I did that. I did that in San Francisco once. Well, I should say we did. We were in San Francisco having a meal, and Lori, who was part of our group, the four of us, couple of couples, it's funny, she doesn't eat a lot. So she had left most of her meal, and on the way in, we had seen this old, like a genuine homeless guy. You know, you could tell he wasn't a drunk. He was just down and out. And when we walked by, he, like, nodded to us, and he was just friendly. And he was one of those guys, as soon as you saw him, your heart went out, and you thought, there's more to this story than just an alcoholic looking for two bits, right? And so she didn't fit. Oh, the whole pile of food still on her plate, and we're sitting there, and the waiter comes to go. And then I looked across, and I saw that guy, and I thought, well, I wonder if he's hungry. So the waiter came, and I said, can you just quickly get me a box? So I put the food in the box, and I walked it out to him on the street. And I'll tell you, it was just so genuinely appreciative. It was just one of those moments where you really felt good about yourself.
Mm.
And I stood there, and everybody walking by, hey, did you just see what I did here?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Does that make really up for the years of taking shit back?
No, I'm just saying everything, but there's balance
there's
to everything.
There's balance in the universe.
No, there's balance.
There's balance in the universe.
And the thing
friend.
Is, I wouldn't normally do that because I'll be honest, often I have an attitude like, fuck, get a job, right? But in this situation, it's take him out, and he just opened that box, and we could see him sitting there eating the fried potatoes and everything. He just loved it. It was a wonderful
well,
moment.
Well, and you know what? That's the whole, what you just did mm-hmm. was the homeless version of it's a Christmas carol.
Right.
You know, yeah. You were visited by...
and that gesture
yeah.
allowed me the next caper.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it all balances out.
The karma thing.
Okay, listen, Amelia. All right, listen, Linda, we'll get to you later. Brian, thanks very much. Good to see you again. All these other stuff we already had. Madonna offered a blowjob to everybody. Today is the anniversary of the Jays beating the Braves in 92.
It's a depressing thought, kind of.
That's pretty cool. The first World Series outside of the United States, 1992.
You and I saw that together.
Yes, we did.
In a bar in Winnipeg, believe it or not.
Ooh, yes, we did.
Wow.
Saw something.
Yeah, it was really something mm-hmm. else.
We were there on a CFNY trip. We took a bunch of listeners to Winnipeg.
Remember we bit and the come with Humble and Fred to Winnipeg.
Yeah, we just thought of a great idea,
a Gorky place we could take listeners. They all ate it up when we went to an Argo game. And the Saturday night before, I think the game was on the Sunday or whatever. Didn't matter. Saturday night, we're in this bar in Winnipeg with all these listeners, and it happened to be Game 6 of the World Series '92, and we all together in a bar watched the Jays win the World Series.
Memory.
Magical, magical moment. Coming up after our first break, I'll tell you what other anniversary it is for me. Also, I finished Narcos last night. I got to talk to you about that as well. How are the Cubs? They lost first game, right?
They lost first game. They were up last night. I don't know.
They won. They're tied at one.
Okay, good, good.
So they're heading to Chicago.
Yeah, they were up. They were up 5-1 last night.
I'm so ready to jump on that bandwagon. Linda's got a story about an artist that has created caricatures for women of their favorite male movie stars, people like John Hamm and Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a painting of those guys in caricature going down on a bunch of women.
So, I like the James Franco one personally.
Is that one of your favorites?
Oh yeah.
So your boy Dan, your husband Dan, does he know that if you were in downtown Toronto and James Franco was there, you get a free pass? Franco's your free pass?
Yeah, I've mentioned it before.
Do you sometimes imagine while Dan is mounting you that it's James Franco?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, I think, honestly, if I ever met him, I'd just be, like, excited about it. I just want to hang, you know, because, like, celebrities have people throwing themselves at them all the time, right? And I wouldn't want to be the creepy fan, you know? I'd want to be the cool fan who they like talking to, you know?
Oh, you would be, because you're a cool person and a very nice person indeed.
He doesn't need to know what's going on in my head, so.
Oh, he would know, though. He would notice by the puddle at your feet.
No. Linda, we've all committed crimes in our minds.
Crimes of passion. Some have committed crimes in person.
Mm-hmm.
Crimes of returning items to big box stores.
Probably is a crime.
Well, at some point it's fraud, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Shoot me. Can you tell us a little bit about the Mitsubishi Motor Company of Canada and the wonderful things they're doing?
Well, as you get to know Mitsubishi through the Humble and Fred show, you'll get to appreciate their warranties. It's unbelievable. 10-year, 160,000-kilometer powertrain, limited warranty on several models. Also, a 5-year, 100,000-kilometer new vehicle limited warranty beyond the powertrain. It's unbelievable. And a 5-year unlimited unlimited kilometer roadside assistance package. So this is the security you get when you purchase a Mitsubishi vehicle.
Mitsubishi.
Go to Mitsubishi.
This is funny. Go to Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi Motors. Hold on. Go to MitsubishiMotors.ca, and you can actually build a vehicle
on
the site. It's crazy.
So I do this little golf podcast. It's called Swing Thoughts, and I would invite you to, if you have any interest in the game, it's pretty cool. We get some great guests on there. We talk golf like a bunch of golf nerds. The guy I do it with is Tim O'Connor. He's a great guy. 58-year-old, you know, human being, smart guy, writer. Written a bunch of golf books. He was in the studio yesterday, and we were downstairs. I was showing him the washroom, the crowd-funded shitter, and all the cool names on it. And he noticed the squatty potty. And, you know, it's funny. Lots of people hear us talking about it. He's heard us talking about it for a year now. And then he said, oh, you know, I've never seen one in person. And without really thinking, I sat down on the toilet. The seat was up. Oh, hang on a second. We got some people here. Come on in. Yeah, that's going to happen now. You think the dog barks more here?
Because I do. I never noticed it at the other place.
Well, he would bark.
Well, maybe because the room was larger. Like, the door was further from us.
Yeah, he did bark when people would come around the corner, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But I think it's because the door is closer. And I think he barks more here because he lives here. I think that's part of it.
Good point.
That makes sense.
The protection.
Well, no, just so you know, because he always barked at my house when people would come to the door, but, you know, didn't happen that often. He barked a little bit in the other place, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's that?
It might also be because the door's closed here. People would just walk in as opposed to, like, coming
standing
up knocking
there
on the door. Like, yeah. I find that the knock on the door usually triggers mad barking.
You know what I've noticed? He sniffs butts a lot more at the studio than the other one.
Okay, good talk. So without thinking, I sat down on the toilet, and there I am explaining how the squatty potty works to another grown man huddled in the washroom with me.
What do you think of this?
You didn't have your pants down, though.
No, I didn't have, you know, Fred, I'd like to, here's what I did. I said, here, Tim, watch me take a shit.
I just wanted to be clear here.
Well, I thought I was clear. Okay. I sat down. Okay, here's what. Yes. Okay.
You said you sat down on the toilet.
Well, I sat on the toilet. Well, the seat was down.
All right.
Cover, the seat, and the thing that goes on top of the seat. What is that?
It was all down.
What is that?
The lid.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But it was. I thought it was kind of cute because I was going quite passionately selling the virtues of the squatty potty to one of my dear friends. I said, "Dude, your life will never be the same." He goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Tim," and I explained how, you know, excrement gets caught in your colon and how it's hard. It's not supposed to be hard. You're not supposed to push. I said, you know, on Squatty Potty's site, they show, they illustrate the proper elimination with soft serve ice cream. And he said, why is that? I said, because we human beings are supposed to, it's supposed to come out of us like that, not these hard lumps of, you know. What?
It is, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you think about it, the reason that excrement is generally quite hard and hard to push out is because all the water's been taken out of it. And it's sitting up there for days. It's not good. Anyways, so then I showed him how to use it, and then I actually had to take a poo, and I just, you know, said, here, watch this. And
did
then
you shake him down for a hun so he could get one?
No, I did not shake him down for a hun.
Why not?
Why not? I don't know. I guess if you'd have been here, you'd have shook him right down. Yeah, you would have. We said, hey, Timmy.
Enter the squatty potty world. Give us $100. Your name goes up there. You get yourself a squatty.
All right. Next time he's here, I'll shake him down for a hundy. Anyway, squattypotty.com. Go and see what it's all about yourself. It really is something else. And, you know, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, ever since Fred introduced me to the squatty potty, you know, my life's never been the same. And honestly, it'll change your life as well.
Hey, does the waste paper basket in the bathroom need to be emptied? Whose job is that going to be? I guess I should have a look.
Yeah, we're going to have a sort of a duty roster, things that we need to do every day, every week, every month.
I check the sink every day for soap scum because that would be ignorant.
Okay. Well, you do that.
For visiting guests.
We've got some guests coming up. We're going to be talking comedy and comedy shows and still lots more Humble and Fred to go on SiriusXM and around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
Hey, this is Tom Segura. You're listening to Canada Laughs on SiriusXM.
And welcome back around North America. It's Humble and Fred Radio around the world at humbleandfredradio.com. The studio's getting busy now, kids.
And the phone line as well.
Hi, who's this? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, there's a guy on the phone line said he had a shit story. Hello? Are you there, pal? Oh, he must have gone.
No, should be there. Say yes and we go again.
Hello? Testing. Hello, are you there, caller? Caller, are you there? Well, I locked it on.
What'd you do? I'm hearing the phone, so hang on.
Hang on.
Don't worry. Don't panic. There's the phone. Try it again.
Hello, caller. Hello, caller. If you didn't have him up, you probably didn't hear the... Caller, are you there?
Hey there?
Yeah, there yes, you. I am. There are you there?
Go. Yes, we are. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries at all. It's a bit different than the last time. When I was on hold, I could hear every little thing you guys were talking about.
Yeah, it was just a button. Getting used to this new facility, sir.
So you're getting... What's your name?
It's Andrew again. I called you a couple days ago from the wonderful province of Newfoundland.
Oh, right.
Andrew.
Newfie Andrew.
Yeah, well, Newfie. I'm a transplanted Newfie right now just for a week. I'm an Albertan boy.
No,
a Flatlander, as they call them.
Yeah, man. Hang on a second. Hi, who's this?
Anyway, you called in. You heard us talking about the Squatty Potty and various shit stories. You had one?
Yeah, well, I was just, you guys are well-traveled gentlemen. You've been around the world a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, when I was a truck driver, I used to go through Pennsylvania a little bit, and I stopped at McDonald's once.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind ordering McNuggets, and I asked for six, and I got five, and I said, well, there's six here, guy. And he goes, no, 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. I said, I'll take that. Thank you, bye. Anyway, ate the McDonald's. You know how that food just goes straight through you. Went back to the can, took a dump, and then looked beside me. Have you guys ever seen used toilet paper in an egg crate beside a toilet before?
No.
See, I thought that was a third world country thing, but that actually happens in Pennsylvania.
Wait a minute.
Now you are that much wiser for it.
I'm not sure so I was paying it? Enough attention.
He said
well,
he saw
that's
used.
That's the bizarre thing. I don't know why in the fuck they'd leave their used ass wipe beside the toilet. And it happened in all the restaurants that I used to stop there to in the truck stops.
What?
Whether it be just, yeah, I'm totally serious.
Well, that's something. I don't even know how to respond to that. It would be like, you know, sometimes if you go to somebody's cottage and they have, you know, septic tank issues, they'll say, yeah, could you just wipe it and fold it and put it in this bucket, which I find gross.
Yeah.
That's it, too. I mean, never mind the one. There was once I went to try to take a dump in the middle of Florida and some big hillbilly laughed at me when I said, where's the dumper? And he goes, over there. And
okay.
I went over there, and the thing was full. Anyway, I won't touch it.
All right, Andrew.
All right.
I appreciate
that's
you
great,
calling,
Andrew.
Dude.
The show's better for
no
that
worries.
Story.
Yeah, and call us, Andrew, call us anytime.
You guys going to get bubbles.
No, I'm not sure what you just said.
Okay,
just
man.
Lose that.
See ya.
Bye-bye
see
then,
ya.
Pal. All right, well, we know the phone works. A couple days ago, one of the biggest news stories across Canada was a woman that had basically wanted to make a point, protest, whatever you want to call it. And then we somehow or another, because of, who was it? Rich Gelder, I think, in Dundas, Ontario.
Right.
One of our, what's that? Yeah,
yes,
it was Rich.
Yes.
He put us in touch with the lovely lady, Ute. And she's here in our studios. Uta's here, everybody. Uta. What's your full
Good
name?
Morning. Uta Schmidt Jones.
Get right on there, Uta Schmidt Jones.
How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Good.
So Freddie just said to me, why didn't you tell me she was coming in? I said, you know what? It was yesterday and all the chaos in the studio and all the reconfiguration. And I got a call from this lovely woman. She said, I wanted to come and thank you guys. I go, you don't have to do that. And then she said she had a gift for us. So I said, yeah, come on in.
I brought presents with a C and with a T.
I get it. You know, presence as a gift and presence as she's here.
Oh, I get
and,
it.
You know,
all right. See, I'm not that sharp.
That's okay.
Well, that's look.
Thank you for the gift of your time. And I'm assuming I won't assume. What do you want to tell us what it is, sweet lady?
It's many things.
It's many things.
So what you've got in your hand right now is a water bottle from the city of Hamilton.
Nice.
Because we want to encourage people to use tap water.
Right. Oh, and shopping bags.
Shopping bags.
Yeah, shopping bags have
reusable.
A bicycle on them. Mm-hmm. And that bicycle, that's the anatomy of a bicycle.
I'm not sure what that means.
Well, we're into active transportation in Hamilton, and we wanted to share
Do you
that
work for the city of Hamilton?
No, I don't. No,
she
I don't.
Works for the world, Howard.
She works she
for the earth.
For the earth, okay. And over here, we've got some nice T-shirts.
Yes. And
are they made from hemp?
No, they aren't. They're actually repurposed T-shirts. We made them for our canvassing purposes.
That's right. Great. And so these are more water bottles.
One for each of you.
Thank you. And then over here, Fred, we've got some...
pamphlets.
Pamphlets supporting local food, climate change, supporting Elizabeth May. Now you like her. You like Elizabeth.
She's fine.
She's a lovely woman.
She's no threat at all.
And what else we got, Ute? We got some dish towels, it looks like. And we've got some, we like these pumpkin seeds.
Of course.
You know what they are? They're great for the prostate.
Yeah,
well, you stick them in your ass?
If you eat the shell.
What you do? You put these in your bum?
No.
Pumpkin seeds? I love pumpkin seeds. Are they salted?
Who do you work for?
No, they're not salted. Who do I work for? Right now, I'm self-employed.
Oh, sweetie, you didn't need to bring us all these
and
things.
Is part of what you do promoting
What I'm doing right now is obviously I'm campaigning. On Green Party values.
Right.
I'm not sure if I'm still a member of the Green Party. Apparently, there's a petition out there to have my membership revoked.
That's
bullshit.
Because you threw the seeds at the prime minister.
There's a petition out there. Yeah.
From who? Whom?
Well,
how dare they?
A candidate who ran in Burlington is.
Someone went to the trouble of starting a petition.
I'm not surprised.
Really?
People love petitions.
I can't be bothered.
Ute?
Yes,
Ute.
Sir. Yes, sir.
When can we expect the Green Party to win more than one seat in the country? It's been a struggle, let's be honest.
Well, if we get proportional representation with the next federal election, winning a riding won't be as crucial. Getting as many votes as we can will be, however, because we will have seats according to how many votes we have nationally, and that's a big exciting piece of news.
Now, Prime Minister Flake Bowflex, did he not promise this in the last something like that?
Prime Minister who?
Oh, it's all right. Justin. Didn't he promise something like that?
He's made his promise, and now he's publicly declaring that he's not so sure we actually need to do it at the next
election.
Well,
I think you would run. You should run because I'd vote for you.
Thank you, sir.
I would.
Thank
I
you.
Would. Wouldn't you, Howard?
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
I'd cast my ballot for
I
Ute.
Would. Thank you very
That's
much.
That's Rute for Ute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Rute for Ute.
He knows his vegetable humor. I like that.
No, it's more cheese.
No, he meant root, like root for you. Like
we
like,
all hear things differently.
Root, yes, toot, we do.
Toot. Like
yes.
Root toot toot for the
root,
home
toot,
team.
Root toot for the. Yes, I got it. But both work. Root vegetables. Mm-hmm. Roots for oots.
Exactly.
Hey, man.
I'll take that.
I'm just still fascinated by someone who would go to the trouble of starting a petition to get you out of the Green Party.
Isn't that crazy?
Like, they can afford to lose even one person who's interested in helping out. Ute, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
God damn it, you're sweet. And you came in all the way from Hamilton. Why do people do this? They're so sweet all the times. Okay.
Thanks, you like Ute. This? You know what? This environment is very green, by the way.
Ute.
Ute. This environment's very green.
Tell me why your environment is green.
Well, it's the green color, I think is what he's referring to.
It's kind of a hazily.
I don't know what color it is.
Maybe olive green?
Yeah, okay.
We keep the heat down.
Yep.
We bought used furniture.
We are reducing our carbon footprint because I don't drive to work. I just walk down those stairs.
On and on, Howard.
Yeah, buddy. Okay.
Home too. I
there
love
you go.
Working from home.
Me too.
Means I don't have to get into traffic.
Hey, Fred, I had a little traffic this morning on the way to work. There was one of Stan's toys I had to step around.
Really?
But once I moved it, traffic continued along smoothly. It's so funny. Okay, thank you, Ute. You are a wonderful person.
We make our coffee with water from the toilet bowl.
Sometimes we use recycled fill pee.
but you know what you could do? You could make a full pot of coffee or tea if you are a tea drinker I am, and put it in a thermos, and then you'll have hot coffee and tea all day, and you won't have to do
so
that.
So you don't drink coffee?
No, sir.
Why is that?
It makes me shaky.
Ah.
I thought she was going to say something
else. It makes me shit. Because sometimes it does that to people.
Yeah. I was listening to your earlier conversation about that and thinking how timely that the seed lady would come in when you were discussing fertilizer.
Well, thank you. Thank you, seed lady. Do we get a picture of Ute in our studio? Would we do that? Thank you, sweet lady.
And loving your blue hair. That's great.
Yeah, it's very
cool. It's blue-green, actually.
It's blue-green. It's aqua. It's very aqua.
FYI, music news is the latest and greatest information about the Canadian music industry. We highly recommend it. Our very good friends from Slate Music have created yet another journal about the Canadian music industry, Fred.
Yes, and we want to remind you, go to fyimusicnews.ca. Go down on the right-hand side. If you're a solo artist, you're in a band, and you're struggling, and you need a hand up. The contest is called It's Your Shot, $50,000 in total prize value. You can enter now, still enter, and maybe you can win a piece of that well, a share of that money. It really comes in helpful. You know, they've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now, and we've had winners on the show. It's Your Shot 2016. Find it through FYIMusicNews.ca.
So this morning, you know, a lot of things happen before the show. And sometimes when my boy here starts talking about billing and accounting, I used to sort of get a bit of a panic on, not because I was worried that I was going to have, you know, not that I screwed up somehow, but part of the problem was when I used to do the invoices on a Word document, it was hard to kind of figure out what I'd sent out, what we've been paid, etc. But, you know, that was a real-life FreshBooks sort of story this morning, because I was able to track the information you asked me for.
Mm-hmm.
A lot quicker than it used to happen. And that's because FreshBooks is so easy to use, even for someone like me that's not, you know, that's not really my thing. What is your thing then, Howard? I'm a big picture guy. The point I'm trying to make is FreshBooks has been nothing but a, well, it's like a godsend. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
When people say that, it's as though the Sky Muppet has smiled down upon us and made FreshBooks, the accounting software, so much easier to use than any others. And we encourage you to go to FreshBooks Cloud Accounting, try it for 30 days. And Hundy Peas, this is critical. Yes, FreshBooks is critical. You sign up for it.
Such a wonderful tool.
Humble and go to FreshBooks.com/HumbleAndFred. H and F. H and the word and F, the letter F.
You got her, Dad.
Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of which, I was going to mention that to you, that today, October 27th, 10 years ago, Papa Lou passed away.
On the, and there I say,
you just said, you got it down. I know. I was about to bring it up.
Isn't that crazy? You know, it's like we're, you know, connected somehow. It's really,
do you believe that, or are you just like saying it? You know, I don't
know. Well, I know. The off stuff all like that often pops up.
It happens
maybe
all the time.
We're like, you know, women with their periods end up in the, live in the same house, they end up the same. You know how that all works? Maybe we're like that, but from a guy standpoint, our minds have their period at the same time. Something like that.
Right.
You know what
our,
I'm saying?
Our minds mm-hmm. bleed and get mm-hmm. aggravated
yeah.
for 3 to 5 days a,
no,
a month.
No, but I say that, and it just happens to be the anniversary on the, the 10th anniversary of your dad's
and
death.
And I had written it down. I didn't tell you I was going to talk about it. Anyway, well, however it came up, my brother Steve and I were talking about it earlier this week on the weekend. We chatted, and he said, you know, Thursday's the anniversary. I was like, wow, you know, I know this is going to be another, isn't time crazy, and 10 years goes by and all that stuff. But I picked up Spencer from her job yesterday, and I said, you know, tomorrow's my dad's anniversary. I said, it's so strange to me, not that he's been passed away 10 years, but also from being a father myself, I said, it's weird when I think about how old you were 10 years ago. You know, she was 8 years old, mm-hmm. and my other daughter, Charlie, that's her name, by the way,
mm-hmm.
she was, just turned 12. So Charlie's birthday was a few days before my dad passed away. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't with Charlie on her birthday that year because I was in Moose Jaw at my dad's, you know, deathbed.
And they remember your...
They remember my father for sure, but what she told me was, I said, what do you remember about that time? She said, I remember you picking mummy and I, our grandmother and I up from the airport in Winnipeg, where we all met quickly. My dad died on a Friday, and the funeral in the Jew world, you got to get him in the ground quickly. So 2 days later, we were at a funeral, but she remembered that I came to pick them up at the airport from Toronto, and that was about it. But I thought it was kind of crazy, you know. 10 years goes by that quickly, and all the things that have happened in 10 years, and the fact that it's been 10 years since I've had a parent.
Yeah, it's crazy how that time goes by. It really is. There's so many little benchmarks like that along the way, and you look back and you think, it can't be that much time. It just can't be.
Well, your mother passed away. It's got to be at least...
It's over 2 years.
I was going to say, it's a couple years now.
My dad will soon, in March, will be 9 years. It's crazy.
My dad died before your dad? Bless you.
Excuse me. Yes, he did. Well, obviously he did.
No, I know that. It's mm-hmm. weird because I, for some reason, thought your father had passed away before Lou, but it was, I guess, after.
You know, another one that gets me is, and the anniversary is coming up, It'll be 13. Remember there was that CFNY reunion party? You didn't go to it for whatever reason.
No, well, I was shunned.
No, you weren't.
I was shunned.
In 2003, that's going to be 13 years ago. And that just seems like yesterday to me. Being hammered and standing there and Rough Trade Carl Pope singing and waving my fist in the air and having so much fun with all those wonderful people that we worked with. That's going to be 13. It just, like, another 13 years, I'll be 73. Like, fuck.
In those
Stop
days,
it.
In those days, I was still on the CFNY no fly list.
It's just not, you know, the most asked question that night was, where's Humble?
Oh, really? That was the most asked question? Where's Humble?
Where and Stafford. Stafford snubbed it, too. But everybody wanted him to be there, and he didn't.
I was going through a difficult period.
When was that?
I don't know. Yesterday.
Right now.
Right now. Man, you look cute.
Once a month.
Are you going to be all dressed in a hip manner when you come over to the res tonight?
Well, I have a corporate gig, so I might, depends on how long I go, I might be coming in a suit, I might be coming in jeans.
But you're going to make it, because you're, every time Barker and I hang out, you are perennially busy. Perennially? Perennially? You're always late.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I just expected
better late than pregnant,
yes.
friend. Better
yes,
late than
baby
pregnant.
Girl.
Let's
get the kid over here.
What, Ryan?
Yeah, that's fine. You stay. So Barker's coming over tonight. We're going to hang out a little
what
bit.
What time you want me here?
I told him six. Yeah. Okay. And then we'll have a little chat, and then we'll go down.
Business?
And then we'll go down the street for some dinner.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Delise and I went to a place in Mississauga, actually Oakville last night, just over the border, called Brown's Social House.
Yeah, I know. It's in on Winston Churchill and QEW.
You know, when I had this halibut bowl with sort of pickled red cabbage and a salad, it was outstanding. Like, it was one of those meals that you had, and it was like, I really enjoyed that. And you keep looking at the empty bowl going, wow, that was good.
These Brown's Social Club, isn't that a chain that's kind of opened
up? From Vancouver.
From Vancouver, yeah.
I've never heard of them.
Yeah, they're kind of cool. They got the brewery.
It's like a Milestones or something.
But isn't that the one with the brewery in them?
Yeah, I had their, and
it,
you know,
like, it looks like they're making their own beer there or something? They got the big,
oh, I didn't notice that.
Okay.
But they had their own beer, and it was called their, and it, like a 16-ounce beer that called their social beer or whatever, it was like $5. Anyway, it was good. I recommend it.
Ryan Dillon's here. He's a good kid. We're going to say hi to him here in a second. Ryan, just getting warmed up. He's a good boy.
I'm a good boy.
He's a good boy.
I'm a good boy, yeah.
Are your parents still alive?
One is. My mom is. My dad passed away when I was a kid, actually. I was in grade one.
Oh.
Yeah, super young. Yeah.
So you're part of the dead dad club?
Oh, yeah. As soon as you guys started talking about dead dads, I was like, oh, I'm going to fit in just fine.
Yeah. But you know what? He actually wins. Your dad's way deader than ours.
Oh, so dead.
Super dead, man.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Way
well
dead.
Done.
So grade one, you're 6 years old. Do you remember it at all?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember my mom had... My mom had a priest tell me, because she didn't want to tell me. She had a priest tell me that he passed away and stuff like that, because she didn't want to, like, be the one that told me, kind of thing. So now I'm like, me and the church don't have a great relationship.
Well, I was going to say, the priest didn't use that as an opportunity.
No.
That's right. We all, you know, it's funny. We all thought the same thing. Oh, excuse me, son. Let me tell you the bad news. It seems bad news, good news. The bad news is your father's dead. The good news is your father's here.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Daddy's home, Ryan.
What?
Holy fuck.
All right. Ryan, I have some news.
Ryan, are you a good boy? Yes. Well, you won't be after
Yes, right. What's that?
Ryan, I have some news to tell you. It's not very good. Before I tell you, you must pull your pants down.
That's right.
Yes. That's how it works.
Exactly how it works, yeah. You know, it's so funny, though. Like, my
why is that, Mr. Priest? Don't ask questions.
Mr. Priest.
I just like the, I've got some good news and bad news. Hang on a second. We got some, what is this? Here we go. Hang on. Ryan Dillon, 6 years old.
Oh, God.
His mother was too grieved to tell him that his father had passed away. So Father Patterson came to visit. Father Patterson walked in the room, and he said the following.
I have some good news and some bad news.
Oh, please, just the good news.
Before I tell you the good news, you must take your pants down to their ankles.
Oh,
no, it'd be more like the Catholic.
Ryan, I have some good news.
Where are these priests from?
They priests are...
His is from Italy.
Yeah.
Well, it mine, was Indian.
Mine was from Peterborough.
Oh, okay.
Ryan, let me say, I got some good news, a bad news.
One of those halal
bad
priests.
News. What's that, Father? Well, the bad news is your father is passed. The good news is you and I are dating on church Tinder.
Oh, great.
I swiped right when I saw your picture. On alterboy.com.
Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Ryan, listen, this is going to be a fun show. It's going to be really easy. Just hey, come on, we're going to talk about comedy.
Hey, Father Patterson, look who I connected with on alterboy.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a looker.
He's a pretty boy. Mm-hmm. And the good news, his father passed away.
Oh, fuck. So, how old was your dad, and what did he die of?
My dad passed away. He worked at the Delta Hotel. He worked at the Delta Hotel. For some reason, he was on the second floor of this thing. And he
what?
Fell. Yeah, he fell. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So just a single mom raising two kids.
So he was killed in an industrial accident?
Yeah, and I don't even know how, because he worked in an office.
Did you sue their ass?
No. But you know what's so funny, though? So my dad worked for Delta Hotel, right? Mm-hmm. Then a few years later, they sent us, me and my family, to Disney World and paid for it and stuff like that. And I was like, that's a weird take on the barter system, right?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Parents or dad sleep in our bed, the Delta Hotel.
So I'd call Diamond and Diamond. I don't think it's too late to sue them.
Oh, yeah, this guy.
It isn't too late, probably.
Fucking
no.
Hey, let me tell you this, dude. If it had been Caper Boss, you'd be staying in Delta's free for the rest of your life. Trust me, you would.
No, that's awful. So
that's horrible.
So he worked in the office, but he...
I have no. Yeah, and again, that's the extent that he died from a fall. That's the extent that I know. Wow. So it's just like single mom raising two kids, like poor growing up and stuff like that. Like that was my story, my East Coast story.
In Newfoundland.
You're from Newfoundland.
I'm from the East Coast. Yeah.
And it's fine because I'm from Moose Jaw as well. I've grown up in a small town. Yeah. Life's a little bit different.
Yeah, life is very different in a small town. Everyone's very nice in a small town, and it's just because they know that if you make anybody mad, you'll run into them again.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's all the reason. Like everyone's so nice in small towns is ridiculous. Even my grandmother, she came to one of my shows. She came to one of my shows, my first time headlining a theater in Newfoundland. She came to the green room, snuck in, and gave me a corsage to wear for the show.
She gave me a corsage,
like the flower on your wrist,
Her
grad. She gave me that for my show because she was so excited to see her favorite granddaughter graduate.
And did you wear it?
It's weird, but okay.
Did you wear it?
I did. I wore it
good
the whole show.
Good
I wore
for
it the
you,
whole
man.
Show. Wore it the whole show.
Good for you. Yeah, Ryan was born in a small town, Eastern Canada. Did everyone feel sorry when you did your first stand-up? Did everyone feel sorry for you? Like, oh, that's Ryan. We better laugh. His dad's dead.
You know what's so funny? I brought that up in my show.
Of
course. I had material about it and stuff like that. And I had an aunt pull me aside at a Christmas party, and she was like, not having any of it. She was like so mad that I like brought.
Oh,
up
did
that.
Dead dad jokes?
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't make fun of him or anything like that. I just talked about my feelings and stuff like that. But they were like. They were just not happy that I brought up stuff about my father and this and that.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was a lot older, obviously, when my father passed away. I was 46 and I was, it's a longer story, but the short of it is I was promoting this book I had done and I'd done some shows. I was doing some stand-up and I would say, today's the 10th anniversary. So October 27th, my dad passed away. My first appearance in front of an audience was about a month or two later and I did a couple of minutes about my father passing away, but I didn't have a segue yet. So I just basically stopped and went, so my dad died. And then everyone kind of gets this uncomfortable laugh. I go, no, wait, it gets funnier.
Yeah.
And then I just kept that in. That's how I just do. I segue into a couple minutes of, you know, people don't know what to say when your father passes away. But the reason I bring it up is when you're little, like one of my daughters was 8 years old when my dad passed away. But when you're little and it happens, and then you're later in life, you're recalling those events. I wonder if that makes the audience more uncomfortable because you're talking about a little kid losing his dad.
Yeah, I don't know. I bring it up. It's so funny. When I first started doing stand-up like 3 or 4 years ago, people were all like, when they first start doing stand-up in their early 20s, like dick jokes and sex and blah, blah. And I was like, my dad's dead. Like just talking about trying to do that deeper stuff because again like everyone's influences in comedy at that point is like Louis C.K. and this and that, so you're trying to dive into
you should have worked some shit jokes in there too.
I should have. I heard the set where you guys talking
we do about a half hour of our
on a serious note because I tend to get serious
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
comprehension. 6 years old, your dad dies. I mean, serious. Can you remember how you comprehend that? Like, I remember. Oh, no. You hardly know what death is.
I did not know what death was. I remember them telling me, and they're like, I was like, oh, he'll be back in a week. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember being like that'll
daddy's gone away.
At 6 years old, all your experience might be like a dead pet, and you think, oh, my dad's dead. I'm going to bury him in the backyard next to the goldfish.
I couldn't wrap my head around it forever. Like, it took a long time for me to grasp the acknowledgement of it and stuff like that. So, like, that's why there was a lot of tension in my family growing up, because my dad passed away when I was a kid, and then 2 years later my grandfather did, and then my other grandfather, so it was just my mom's and my grandmother's, like, that's all I had growing up. Mm-hmm. So no father figure types at all.
Did you start thinking it was you, like something's wrong with me?
No, but I always had a baseball glove and ball in a bag just in case someone wanted to be a father figure.
Now your grandfathers, did they die in mysterious ways?
No, well, actually one of them is so funny. He was diabetic. He was super diabetic,
right?
And he was like, he couldn't have candy at all. And he looked at me one day, and he had like those, you know, those old black licorice candies.
He used to love those.
The soft ones? Yeah, those soft ones.
The
he looked at me, and I remember being like 7 or 8, and he was eating them. And I looked at him, and I was like, Poppy. And he was like, yeah. He was like, I was like, what? You're diabetic. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, are you supposed to be eating candy? And he goes, no. And I was like, why are you eating them? He goes, because they fucking taste good. And then he died.
What a way to go.
Yeah, my great-grandmother, my great-grandmother, 93 years old, like, she was super self-aware when she was near the end. Like, she looked at my mom at 88. She goes, full Newfoundland accent, too. She's like, now, Heather, what am I going to do with the car? Because I kicked a bucket any minute now. You want stat? And she was like, don't talk to me like that. And she goes, well, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, she fell, broke her hip, was in the hospital, right? And the nurse comes in. My sister's in with my great-grandmother. Nurse comes in. She goes, all right, Mrs. Hanlon, it's time to go for your walk. My great-grandmother looked at her right in the face and went, walking. I ain't fucking walking. It hurts. I'm staying here. And then she died from a blood clot from not getting up.
Wow.
Like, all my family was just, all their deaths was stubborn. Well,
once they
like,
break their hips.
Yeah, yeah, that's the end. You grew up in Newfoundland. And how long have you lived here in Ontario?
2011. I moved here in 2011.
So did your accent sort of start to drift away as you got old?
I never had much of an accent. I never had very much of it. Even when I was in Newfoundland, I didn't have much of the East Coast thing. Like, people thought I was from here.
From away?
Yeah. I don't know.
I asked that because I worked with somebody from Newfoundland for a solid year. One of my favorite people still. She's a recording artist named Kim Stockwood.
Okay.
And Kim and her friend Seamus O'Regan? Yeah.
Oh, I know Seamus.
So Seamus and her, and I had a chance to hang out with a bunch of people from Newfoundland, and I found myself, first of all, when they all get together, their accents kick it up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Kim, day to day, you wouldn't know certain words, but when you get them all together, they really put it on, or it really comes out. But I always found myself, do you find this when you're around people from Newfoundland?
Yes.
You start to talk like that a little bit, almost like you're from Ireland.
I was back in New Brunswick 2 weekends ago, and I was full out being from New Brunswick.
Well, how does that sound?
New Brunswick says a lot of quites and a lot of some. Like, that's some good.
Yeah.
She's quite the looker, huh? Like that kind of thing.
When I'm around Newfies, I want to build a boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to drink some rum.
Good one.
Thank you.
You know when I'm around some Newfoundlanders, you know what the first thing I want to do is, what is that? Do you want to build a boat? I do want to build a boat.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want to build a boat? Let's all build a boat.
But it's funny because Kim will do that and be like, hey, there's my friend Seamus. Yeah. That's how she sounds. Just talking like this. Ryan wants you to come watch him open for Jerry D this Friday at the Burlington Performance Arts Center. Recently nominated for a Canadian Comedy Award for his one-man show, Collapse. And just got back from Just for Laughs. That's the swimming.
Just for Laughs. I just ran
Just for Laughs, the swimming competition. Where you did a taping for Kevin Hart's website. What is that?
He's got a new series coming out called LOL, which is like Netflix for comedy. And I did Homegrown, the competition at Just for Laughs, got selected for that. And we all got a taping. So we all did an 8-minute set, and it'll be premiering in January.
And
so,
how did for you? Very nice. Thanks, congratulations. Thanks, and what is your opener? This is how I usually like to answer. What's the thing you walk on stage? We go, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. Come on, you know him, you love him, from Newfoundland. His father died when he was 6. That's what I wish I was fucking. If I was anything, I'd go, come on, folks. His father fucking died when he was 6 years old. He was grabbed by a nutsack by a priest.
Oh, God.
Ryan Dillon.
like, hi, everybody. Give it up for my best friend, Fred. I would say, oh my God, I always open my show, I say, this is especially open mics, I always be like, my name is Ryan Dillon, I'm from St. John's, Newfoundland. And someone always in the back will be like, yeah! And I'll be like, oh, you've been to Newfoundland? And they're like, no. But I've been to Halifax, and I'm like, great. Yeah, but that's a different fucking place. Like, you didn't add anything to this conversation at all. You want to get some tacos? I love sushi. Shut up.
Like, everybody loves so Newfies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny because Fred and I grew up in an era in Canada where it's hard to describe, like, that Newfoundlanders were kind of the national punchline.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been so many years since that's been the case because as mm-hmm. people traveled, as we Canadians got to know more Newfoundlanders, mm-hmm. they become like the adorable, like your favorite cousins.
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
Listen, growing up, they were almost like an ethnic group.
No,
like,
I know.
When I grew up, there was like Italians, lots of Italians, and there were Newfies. It was almost like...
I have friends.
The same
that,
thing.
Yeah. I have Newfoundland friends that get upset by the term Newfie. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Oh, you can't."
Oh, really?
Like, if a mainlander
oh, no.
says Newfie to you, and I'm like, "Let's all relax. Let's all
yeah, well, you know,
take
listen,
a breath." Okay?
We all exactly. But I, you know, I've got friends of mine that are Jewish that hate being called, you know, kikes. So I mean, like, relax, everybody. Well, you know what I'm saying?
I think it's like very apples to oranges.
you know what I'm talking about, Ryan?
I know. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Hey, everyone, go check out Ryan Dillon at the Ryan Dillon on Twitter, and we'll be looking for you sharing this experience on social media
mm-hmm.
and on your Facebook page, and I'll expect a thank you note as well.
I'll forward it to you.
Yeah, I'll CC the priest.
Very nice. There he is. Yeah, look how much fun that provided. Huh? Thanks, Ryan.
Is it me or could this guy be Ward Anderson's brother?
Really?
Yeah, he just reminds me of Ward for some reason.
I don't know.
I don't see it, but hey, I'll go with it. Yeah. Yeah, are you Ward Anderson's Newfie brother? Get out of here. I'm not sure what we're going to do here. I think we should talk a little bit about gently step away. Talk a little bit about the retirement Sherpa, my friend. Yeah, he's hot. A little Sherpa boy. Tim Nippolit is a financial planner at Raymond James.
Yes, he is.
Why don't we? Why is it we can't commit anything to memory?
No, it's fine.
No, I know.
But there's sponsors. You want to get it right. You don't want to sell. Hey, listen. If you're not in retirement already, you're on the way there. You should talk to Tim.
Yeah,
because,
man.
You know, he's the retirement Sherpa. He can help you with setting and identifying measurable, important goals, and that can be enjoyable. It doesn't have to be sweat and worrying about the future. He'll help you develop a plan, and he's got this time-tested methodology that works. He's Tim Nippolit. He's the retirement Sherpa. You hear him on this show weekly. He's a gentleman, a wonderful man, and he's the type of guy, you give him your dough, you feel all right.
Dude, think about this. Yesterday, he came mm-hmm. and did the appearance on our show. Then he was driving 4 hours to Ottawa to meet with a client that he that found through the Humble and Fred show,
right.
Which is cool. But, you know... Because he really does care. I know it sounds cliche, but I mean, think about that. The dude went on the road 4 hours, and he was getting in his car today, I think, to drive his wife and their dog down to Florida, where he bases himself out of for a couple months in the winter. Yeah. So, you know.
And that's how committed he
yeah.
is.
Yeah, man.
He's a wonderful man. I felt a bit bad yesterday because he had supplied the show with Humble and Fred Sherpa mugs.
Yeah, man.
And when he came in yesterday, we weren't using them.
Because I think you and I, like a baseball team, you and I are a little bit... We've never spoken of this, but I haven't used another coffee cup on this show than the ones that we use. We use the Humble and Fred. They're basically old CFNY. These mugs are 25 years old or 22 years old, and they both say Humble Howard and Fred Patterson. That would be me and him.
No, and that was another thing. Remember we almost brought them in simultaneously without...
I know.
Talking to each other.
Yep, I had it at home. Yeah, and we brought it into the office, and
it was like, "You got your cup, I got my cup."
I know.
The thing is, they're nice big cups, and hey, the Sherpa cups are wonderful, nice big, enjoyable cups too.
And so, when you come into the office here, if you're lucky enough to get a retirement Sherpa Humble and Fred cup, you've done something.
It's no wonder people call them pizza.
Why, you know,
hungry for the very
it really is absurd pizza, what you can get if you're hungry at pizza. How about the large pizza? We've told you about this, 3 toppings and 3 Coke. That's $13.99. You can upsize to extra large. You feed your family for a week for $13.99. Don't forget, you can join Club 1111 And it is open until, now check this out, Halloween people, open until 4 a.m. this weekend, the Halloween weekend. When you get your drink on, you know, you go Halloween and you're like, okay, it's 2 in the morning. What do I do? Pizza Pizza, open Friday and Saturday this Halloween weekend until 4 a.m. All right, kids. Lots of stuff still to come. Talk to our friend Amanda Barker, who's just about the sweetest thing. Also, a couple guys that used to be part of the Todd Shapiro Show have gone out on their own. Jay Brody and Roddy Culmer have got their own show on Canada Laughs. We'll get to that sometime before this show's done. It's Humble and Fred Radio around North America
and Mexico
on Sirius XM. And, of course, around the world at humbleandfredradio.com.
This is Ron Funches, and you're listening to Canada Laughs. I hope you're laughing, Canada. Don't make me a liar.
Rastaman. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Rastaman.
Great to be with you, everybody. And now that, today feels a little bit more normal, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, settled.
Well, it feels like we're settling down a little bit. Ryan, what's his bag? There, he's gone already. Dylan. Ryan Dillon, what Ryan a great Dylan. Appearance.
He's great, right?
He's very good.
Let's get him back in.
He did what a stand-up comedian needs to do on this show. They need to do something.
Yeah.
They need to bring some content. He was a character, and we didn't have to work too hard to make him part of the show. And all it took was before he sat down, I said, hey, dude, if you're going to come on here, you need to know that we're going to have some fun. You're going to have some fun. Interview. And he was exceptional. Yeah. And he's standing right there wearing a toque.
Like a good Newfie.
Like a good Newfie boy.
Or man from Newfoundland.
And did you feel, are you feeling settled down now a little bit there? Caper Bob?
Mm-hmm. Feeling good. Yeah.
help a guy out with the microphones, please.
Because
you turn you. I can't help.
Well, I just...
Help
a guy.
I know, but help a fellow out. Are you feeling good? Do you have something to add? Do you not feel settled down?
I feel great. Absolutely.
You look good over there. Mm-hmm. Notice anything? Where's your glasses? Where are your glasses?
They're off for a second.
Notice anything different about mine? No, did I give you yours back, by
no,
the way?
No, I can't see because I don't have my glasses on.
Well, I gave them back, didn't I? Do you have your other spare ones here? Because I don't have them.
I don't know. I lose track. I got them everywhere.
Yours are fixed.
Hmm. No, mine are new.
Oh, because I noticed they're not broken.
Yeah, the one end is broken.
Are they readers?
Yeah, they're readers.
I thought you were going to get some prescription.
Nah, well, maybe eventually, because you told me we have a prescription on our insurance.
Coverage, yes.
Yeah. No, I just went, took Spencer with me to Shoppers yesterday, and I said, you know, I could buy 15 for $2 at Costco, but I just wanted to buy something that looked a little nicer. So those were the compromise.
They look good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can see again. It was unbelievable. I was wearing his for a day or two. You're a little stronger than mine.
Mine are twos.
And these are a little.
0.20.
So you were talking about being at the Browns...
Or 2.0.
Browns Social Club?
Mm-hmm. No, Browns Social House.
Browns Social House?
Mm-hmm.
A restaurant? So I get... I got a buddy of mine. He's done... You know, he's a younger dude. A couple years ago, I told you I was invited to his 30th birthday party. He's a golf friend. And there was probably, I don't know, 8 or 10 people at this dinner. And this was only a couple years ago, and the dinner was thousands of dollars.
Yeah, fuck off with
like,
that.
Like, fuck.
Fuck off
And as
with
I
that.
Said, as I said at the time
Who
on the show, it doesn't matter.
That's bullshit.
But as I said at the time, I didn't realize the restaurant we were going to was going to be that expensive. And because right. it was his 30th, we all pitched in to pay for him.
Fuck off.
And my end was $400.
Boo.
I know. Boo.
There's so many beautiful restaurants in this city.
And as I said at the time, I said, I don't mind. I wouldn't have minded spending $400 if it had been an anniversary of mine, one of my daughters, something you and I were celebrating. But it was just sort of a very good acquaintance. And I just happened to be free then. I went, yeah, I'll come to your birthday party. There were some guys from the golf group there.
Mm-hmm. And it was just you alone,
$400? Yes.
That's garbage.
Because it was $400 a couple, however it worked out. Anyway, cut to a couple days ago, I get an invitation from him saying, hey, we're all going to go downtown on Saturday night for my birthday. And I was like, oh,
what birthday is this?
My 32nd.
What? Only,
this is a buddy of mine who, I told you, had his 30th birthday 2 years ago. He's a golf buddy.
So what? There's no significance to a 32nd.
Right. So I get the invitation.
That would be the first part of the no.
Well, okay, but I mean, if I was free and I was not doing anything, what I might. I'll tell you in a second. Mm-hmm. So I. Well, it's just, hey, do you want to come down and have dinner with a bunch
right.
of people? I said, sure, me. You know,
sure.
I said, let me think about it. He goes, I got to know by today, meaning Thursday, for the reservation, right? So I go and check out the menu. It's at a restaurant called Michael's on Simcoe. Check this out, son. Dry-aged USDA Prime Angus. The cheapest steak on this menu. You can get an 8-ounce strip loin, I should say, USDA Prime, for $40. If you want the 16-ounce, it's $80. Yeah. Wait, there's more. If you wanted the 24-ounce bone-in ribeye, you would spend $98.
Where does this kid live? He does not live in Toronto.
No.
Yeah, he lives right down
downtown?
By the right by the Dome, baby.
Does he really?
Yeah.
No way.
This is one of his favorite restaurants.
It's not a penthouse, is it?
What does he do? Jesus.
If you want the Japanese Kobe beef, which you can, a 6-ounce California cut strip loin is $140. Wait, it gets better. If you want the 24-ounce strip loin Kobe beef, it's $560. Needless to say, I won't be going there for the ensalada arugula fucking salad for $18. Fuck me.
I'll take you to Metro.
Dude, I'm taking Barker to one of my favorite restaurants. I've already got a favorite place here on the Queensway. Yeah. It's called Time, T-H-Y-M-E. It's a fucking little tiny Italian restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Cool.
And I'm going to get you a bowl of noodles
Amazing.
For $12. That'll blow noodles. Your mind. What do you think of that?
This whole beef thing is getting out of hand because no matter where you go, beef's really expensive right
True.
Now. No matter,
oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like even this Brown Social thing last night, the one steak offering was like a steak sandwich. It was $24.
For a sandwich.
Like, beef is huge. Oh. And, you know, beef in those situations, recently I went to Jacob's Steakhouse and it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's a lot like wine. Once you get to a certain price point, can you really tell the difference after that?
You know, that's
like,
a really good point.
No, it is to me. And it's like, okay, there's a good steak. It might cost me $24. It's just mm-hmm. a good steak. Well, give me one worth $124. I can't tell a big difference. It's a status thing with a lot of guys.
I couldn't agree with you more. They have now. They've got Ontario Canadian prime beef at this reference.
At this reference. $500 later.
It's a 16-ounce ribeye is $74. Now I couldn't appreciate. Just as you said, I would not be able to tell you the difference between the $30 one at the Keg, and I say that with respect because they're great steaks, and the $74 one at Michael's. I really couldn't.
And, you know, from a demographic standpoint, I have to wonder the future of the steakhouse because I know a lot of people, like, because of the price mm-hmm. and because of the attitude towards beef, like, you just said it a second ago about the pasta. I could take you to a few places in Brampton, be it Indian food or some places in Mississauga, Jamaican food. And for a fraction of the cost, you get a wonderful meal. Tasty, different, spicy. You don't need to spend $100 on a steak.
And
how often do you go into a restaurant and get a steak and you're disappointed at any price?
You know, it's funny because this buddy of mine and I went to Florida for this golf mm-hmm. trip last December. Mm-hmm. And we went to one of these type of steak places. And I said to him, listen, man, I'm not in the mood to spend $300 for dinner. Mm-hmm. And to answer your question, he does very, very well. He's pretty. He makes a lot of money.
Sure, sure.
And he said, because I took him along on this trip, he said, "Let me get it." And I said, "You don't need to do that." He says, "No, no, no. I want to, as a thank you for." So again, I had like a $30 or $40 or $50 steak, and it was great. But the next level up, I wouldn't have known. It wouldn't have made any difference to me. The place I'm taking you tonight, honestly, everybody I've taken there, Dan and Dave, and I've been there a bunch of times, all say the same thing. This is like world-class food in a little neighborhood place for $12.
Well, and that's the best thing about our city, is that we have world-class food that you can get for $12. You don't need to spend $300. I've never ordered a steak in a restaurant ever in my life. I don't eat steak.
No, and
so.
I rarely, if ever. I went to Jacob's there with my buddy. He had a gift certificate, and we used part. He had a $200 gift certificate, and it still cost us $100 each.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and it was like, and don't get me wrong, I want to sound like an ingrate. It was good, but I'll tell you, it wasn't $400 good.
But I'll tell you what, someone would argue, okay, so they would say, okay, Fred and Howard, I hear you, that's a lot of money to spend on a piece of meat. Mm-hmm. And they, what they would say is that this place, which is apparently very famous, the way they prepare it is what makes it worth $74 for a 16th. I'm just saying, we can make that. We can think that's not worth it. But to some people, the person who works there, the chef that they have, the food that they put up is worth that money. Now, it's not to us. And especially when it comes to steak, I've said this before, I think I can make a pretty good steak, as good as you would find in most restaurants. Maybe not as good as this one, but good enough that I wouldn't order it there. It would be lost on me. And so when I looked at this menu yesterday, I'm like, I'm not going to go to the birthday party dinner. Maybe I'll drop in for a little, how you doing?
That's what I always do.
Yeah,
a
little
drop in, little coffee.
Yeah. How's it going?
Just
look through the window and go in after the bill's been paid.
Yeah. That's right.
You get peering in the
window. I'll go in there with my orphan gloves.
Hey. Please, sir, could I have some Kobe beef?
So how did that come down? So you all went for dinner, because refresh me, because this is a fascinating story. So you went knowing that you were going to, or you weren't sure exactly how the bill was going to be handled at the end of the night?
It was one of those things.
And how did you get railroaded like that? And didn't you say there was lots of guys ordering?
No.
Expensive bottles of wine?
Exactly. Yeah. So there was, he was there, my friend whose birthday it was. And there was, I think, three couples and a couple of single people like me. And it was one of those things where I was invited. I said, happy to go. Great guy. Like him a lot. Played a lot of golf with him. 30 years old. Great. I'm going to go to your birthday dinner. And I didn't know it was a restaurant like this, only in downtown Oakville.
Right.
And when I got there, I was kind of like, well, I don't know that this is, I could see it on the menu. It was a similar menu to this. But I basically ordered some fish or something. And my
thinking you were just going to pay for your
for
own
for myself.
Problem. Yeah, right.
And then when the bill came, it was like, oh, we're all taking
care
of.
Does he not have a significant other? Because that's her
job.
He
does now.
That's her job.
It didn't then.
So if there was eight guys there, you split it by seven, and he ate free, basically, is what
he
did.
And the thing was, it was the kind of thing where I was so drunk by the time the bill came.
Yeah.
And I was also self-conscious about that. I remember this thinking, I don't want to be the one to. And it was funny because a couple of us were playing golf. A couple days later, we went, the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Because we all felt like, okay, well, now we're in it. I guess this is how it's done. But, one of my buddies said, that was kind of a raw deal for you, because I basically had to pay as though I was there as a couple. Anyway, so I'm not going to this thing for $65 tenderloins.
But you're right. All the great food and, mostly like ethnic food in the city where it's a fraction of the cost.
And I would say this.
It's so enjoyable.
Even when I was making... Yeah. And to be not to be coy, but when we were making the kind of money where I would go to a restaurant like this, even then I didn't go.
No, because it's what it is. It's not
worth it to me.
It's just common sense. It's what makes sense. It doesn't matter how much you make if the return isn't there on the investment.
But to some people, fair point, they like this kind of thing. When you have the kind of money where you can afford this, to go and spend a couple grand for dinner Saturday night is nothing to these people.
Well, I had a buddy.
It's nothing.
I won't name him, and then he said, oh, you got to go to this place, North 40 or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there, North 44.
And Delise and I even forget who we went with. And, not to be critical, don't we know the chef or something from there?
Mark McEwen.
You know him?
Yeah.
But really?
It was this
cool.
Huge prices. And this and I think I might have got the beef or something. This bowl comes with this little hunk of beef and a little dab of mashed potatoes.
Some kind of goo.
And like a fucking feather stuck in it or something. And it was like 50 bucks at the time.
Edible feather.
Edible feather.
It was nothing. That's right. There was nothing there.
Feather foam.
A feather made of butterfly shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because even the sides at this restaurant, I was going to tell you, the sides are like, how about this? Mashed potato gratin. What does that mean? With cheese and shit?
Yeah, with cheese.
So you're like, I'm just going to have some sides. The fucking mashed potatoes are $18.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? How do you come to the table and go, oh, here's your mashed potatoes, and it costs us 18 bucks to make them?
Downtown Toronto, you get the big wheels there. They don't care.
Yeah.
Right.
No, they just don't care.
And by the way, to my friend who's going there with his friends, they all make big money. And that's fine. I don't, and I'm not going to spend $145 for Chateaubriand for two.
I don't blame you.
Fuckers.
I don't blame
you. You know, $145, it better come with a hand job for two.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how many coffees I've dropped in on my friends that have real jobs? I'm like, I'll just come for coffee. I don't know. I'm busy, and I'm just going to drop in for the coffee.
Well, let's see what coffee is.
Yeah.
I'll just come in for some sauce.
That's right.
And what will you have, sir? I'll have the peppercorn jus. What do you mean? Just give me a bunch.
The jus.
It's $5.
The jus.
Give me a peppercorn jus and some creamed horseradish. Well, sir, those are just sauces. That's fucking fine.
That's fine.
I brought,
my own bread. I went to Stoney's. I got some bread. And you know, I'm just going to fucking dip it.
You know, it's even when I drive by like a place like the Keg in Brampton, there's all sorts of cars there. And I'm thinking all these people flocking to the Keg and they're probably all having steak. Now, that grade of steak or that level of steak, I'll tell
you. And it's very good, by the way.
Oh, are they a potential spawn?
Maybe.
Oh.
Keep going.
It's fucking great. I drive by and I go, man, I should be going in there. What am I doing out here when
really
I could be
say?
In there?
What did you really want to say?
I was just saying that great a steak. I guarantee I can do as good at home a fraction
sure.
of that.
Absolutely.
Like, I don't need to go there for a steak.
But when I go to a restaurant,
I want to go for something different that I can't do.
We've made that point. Yeah. You know, the reason I don't order steak is I think I can make it better. But at least I'll say this about the Keg. You know, if you're going for a pretty nice night out, it covers it. The food's good. It's plentiful. It's not super expensive.
I gotta go more often.
Yeah. And what were we gonna say? I know we gotta get these guys home.
Bring it up. Sometimes I think roll with me here. The cost of the meat is sort of like the cost on the planet, right? And if you stop eating meat and start getting a little bit more into other sources of protein,
as I have,
like lentils and pulses, as you have,
I'm saving the fucking planet by myself.
That's right.
It's all
I'm I know a lot of our fans have been talking about that.
I won't be here much longer, so I'm going to eat goats and
yeah,
shit.
Fuck, okay. Why don't you do it? You don't. Here's the thing about Fred. What people don't realize is he'll crawl right inside a fucking goat carcass and live there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to be more. We're just trying to be better people.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, and the people at Pulse Canada have taken notice.
Excellent. Let's welcome to our program two gentlemen that used to be part of the Todd Shapiro program. And once in a while, I would come on the show and I would say, oh my gosh, what Todd has done is he's found some funny people to surround himself with. God damn, they're good kids. Jay Brody and Roddy...
McDowell.
Yeah. They're here. Hey, Rod, man, what's up?
How are you?
Good.
Congrats on the new studio.
Well, yeah, and Brodes, what's going on, Bubba?
I feel great. I've switched exclusively to tortured meats. Yeah. I only get... meats that have been tortured.
That's right.
Right.
Like waterboarded veal.
Yeah, more succulent.
Oh, that's succulent.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. I basically only eat meat that's gotten depressed and killed itself.
Yes.
That's what I do. I eat depressed beef.
Yeah, but it's tender.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Sad trout.
What's that sad what?
Trout.
Yeah, I eat sad trout, melancholy, fish, and other things. Anyway, good to have you boys here. Jay Brody.
Thank you.
And Roddy Culmer. Now, the deal is these guys have gone out on their own.
Yeah.
They're standing on their own two feet. What is going on? Give someone a start.
We have spread our wings, and now we host a show on Sundays on Canada Laughs called Laugh League. We introduce some up-and-coming comics and discuss random events, and we lead into the Humble and Fred replay, I believe.
Come on, really?
Yeah.
I let him name it. Not just trusting him, and he ended up naming the show Jason and Jason.
So it's Jason and Jason's Laugh League. We're a comedy troupe now. And Roddy was in charge of social media. He had to register the business, do the legal, and my job was to name us as a group.
Okay.
You know, so it's Jason and Jason's Laugh League.
Now, Roddy, I'm not sure if you understand what's happening here, because Fred and I have been a comedy troupe for some time, known as the Humble and Fred Show.
Right.
But recently, we've taken up music, and we travel under the name Aunt Betty and the Casseroles.
Nice. That's good.
That's our, Aunt Betty?
It's very sentimental.
Well, no, it's the name of the, it's one of those ironic things where we're called Aunt Betty and the Casseroles. And, you know, we play places like the Dakota Tavern and some...
We do folk night at the Rivoli.
Shut up, Barker. We do. We fucking folk it up.
We don't think bare naked ladies, right?
Right.
Yeah.
None of them are bare naked or legged. Yeah, same thing.
Roddy and I play the washrooms in those places as well. Yes. We have a washroom show at the Rivoli every Sunday.
Now,
that wouldn't be a bad idea because you know those washrooms the guys are in there, they hand you the paper towel for a buck or whatever.
Guy playing in there.
Busket.
Why not? A
bucket.
Every time somebody comes in for a piss, they give you a loony.
They play songs.
Go for it.
We do a duet when people take dumps. It's very
fantastic. It really is. It's melodic. Broads, is it true that you were doing a radio show while secretly being in construction for a building that was mob run and falling apart? Tell that story.
So for the first 9 months on the Todd Shapiro Show, I was a construction supervisor of a condo that was being built in Woodbridge, Ontario, so a little north of here. My boss was definitely a mobster because he would remind us where to bury bodies everywhere. Every time we would look. But I had to do, I've always wanted to be on the radio. It was my dream, so I couldn't pass up the opportunity. So I would leave every morning and make up a reason for leaving to do a show on the radio.
2.5 hours you would leave the website.
And I would have to come back with mysterious materials or like pretend I met a tile guy.
Wait. Cool.
Wait a second. You left the job site to go work with Todd?
Yes.
For 2 hours.
That's
two
pretty
hours.
Cool.
Downtown.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a bad idea.
You must have spent so much time on the 400 swearing.
A lot of time and fearing for my life.
Yeah.
Because these men were very... 6 months after I left, I got a call. Hey, Jay, I heard you on the fucking radio. And I'm telling John, I think I'm having a heart attack. What the fuck is he doing on the radio?
But then they were really excited, right? That they heard you on the radio?
No, I said, I don't know who that is. Oh, that's You're crazy. Funny. Don't talk to me.
So when you supervise a job site and you're not there for 2.5, 3 hours, who's left? The guys just fuck around while you're gone?
It's a godless, messy place at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very bad. Don't buy a condo in Woodbridge without contacting me. I'll tell you where.
Really?
Because
I need to move my in-laws.
Yeah, I'll tell you where not to move.
Now, Roddy, I know you're a musician for reals, and a you have a lot of tattoos.
I do. I had a crush on a girl who wanted to be a tattoo artist, so I would just let her draw on me as much as she wanted.
Now, has she tattooed your penis?
Yeah, she has, yeah.
Hey, seriously?
Yeah.
No. Do you have a
that's
penis?
That's the only thing I have left that's virgin.
Because you know we were going to ask to see it, but now we don't
I'll
have to.
I'll take my clothes off.
No. Only if it was tattooed. Have you ever seen a tattooed thwank?
No.
I
know we had somebody on the show.
That would hurt.
You know who he looks like? You thought the other guy looked like Ward, Ryan looked like Ward. He looks like Christian Potenza to me.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, tattooed Christian Potenza.
Is that good?
Yeah, very good.
He's a good guy, isn't he?
So what about Todd Shapiro? Let's talk about him. Because I like the kid. He's been like a friend of ours for a very long time. Are you guys still friendly with Todd Shapiro?
Yeah, we have we do shows in the same building and always grateful for the experience Todd gave us.
Yeah, those are two great years that we had together. So,
okay, I'm not trying to stir shit up.
No, there's no shit to stir.
All right, just in case there was.
If there was, we'd use a squatty potty when we did it.
Yeah, you would. Right. Good boys.
There's one down there if you have to have a dump.
I've never used it in my life.
Well, go have a dump.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
Yeah, everybody, check out Jay Brody and Roddy Culmer. Am I saying Culmer right?
Yeah, that's
even
right,
remotely.
Culmer, yeah.
And the and you're working on a selection of songs. This is what I understand.
Yeah,
yeah. It's going to be a charity album. An artist named Booby Lover, who we created, who loves women's breasts.
Loves breasts,
and he has a bunch of songs about boobs. And we're going to donate the proceeds to breast cancer research.
Yeah,
we
do a show, a podcast called The Dumb Show, and it came about from that. And
do you have favor us with song right now about boobs?
Song? Yeah, we
boob
have
song. Boob song.
Did you send?
I sent a file, but if you don't have it,
he has links.
Oh, hang on a second, I got some stuff.
Beautiful links.
Some beautiful links.
Beautiful. They're nice.
Watch my links.
I have to copy and paste them into the browser.
They look good.
Because they didn't.
They're all about tits.
Turn blue.
It's a lot of tits.
Mm-hmm. Which breast cancer? Which one? Princess Margaret? Or
we haven't decided yet. We're still in the process of getting the material together.
By the way, you could still get in on the early bird for the Princess Margaret lottery.
Yeah, I know.
Jesus Christ. Have you seen the early bird
thing?
It's like a cottage and a boat and $10,000 and a fucking car.
Yeah, castle.
They sucked me in. I did it this year, guys.
If I win that cottage, we'll move the studio there, Howie.
That'll be great to get guests.
Yeah, that'll make a lot of sense.
Bring them in. We'll fly them in.
Okay, so where is it? Okay, Lynx, here we go. Lynx, Brigitte Brody, Talking Points, God Bless. Okay, these one, God Bless?
Yeah.
Let's hear that.
We love it.
Sure, why not? Let me just do some shit right now. This is Jay Brody and other dude.
Roddy Comer.
Roddy.
Yep. Jason.
Jason and Jason. Ah, crap. Bitch. Okay, here we go. This is a little bit of their... This is Songs for Boobs.
We love boobs.
Here
are you guys...
Are. Listen up, girls.
Are you prejudiced against The Snatch, or is that next album?
that'll be the sequel. Mm-hmm.
All right.
God made frogs. God made the sea. God made you. God made me. God made pie. God made seeds. God made everything you eat. God made summer, spring, and fall. God made basketball players extra tall. God made Lego building blocks. God made Otis Redding sing about docks. He created the world in 6 days, but on the seventh day, he didn't rest. He made two things on that day, and those two things were the best. Titties.
There we go.
God made titties.
God bless God for making titties. Nice job.
Thank you.
Very nice. God damn. I don't know about you, but I was thinking they better get to some tits soon in this world's longest setup. Boys, fuck, that was amazing. We've been screwing around with the studio. So just give Phil a microphone there, Roddy's door. Okay.
I'm going to bust out. I got to go host a thing for BMO.
Oh, I'll see you. Hey, baby girl.
Yeah.
I'll see you. Park in the 956 spot. No, because it'll be open for you.
Okay
man.
See you, darling.
Thanks to Ryan, Dylan. Thanks to our boys, Jay and Roddy. At the Jay Brody, at Roddy Comer. And a little bit more on our podcast extra in a second. Thanks, Linda and Brian. Very nice.
Yeah.
Here we go. Go, Phil.
This episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by Sleep Country, Pizza Pizza, FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Squatty Potty, FreshBooks, and our newest sponsor, Mitsubishi Motors of Canada. And as always, we broadcast to the world from the center of Canada's universe, Toronto, nestled in the cozy bosom of the Squatty Potty 5-Hour Energy Storefront Studios. More Humble and Fred tomorrow and online at humbleandfredradio.com.